1 Corinthians 14 is, this is a section on spiritual gifts. We went over chapter 12, which talks about all the different spiritual gifts: apostle, prophet, teacher, administrator, mercy, gift, speaking in tongues, the interpretation of tongues. And then right in the middle, in chapter 14, is going to focus on tongues. But right in the middle is chapter 13 about love that I went over last week, because it's like so many people get hot and angry over spiritual gifts, any discussion on spiritual gifts. So God said right in the middle, he put a section on love. So let me start out by my introduction to the spiritual gift of tongues. I was in college when I met the Lord. And I was on cloud nine. I met Jesus, and I was involved in a college group of about 20 Christians. And I had been a Christian about 2 weeks, and I was just so excited. I was just reading my Bible. I was probably in the Gospel of John, just soaking it up. I knew very little about the Bible. I never had read the Bible, and I went to church faithfully before that Easter and Christmas, okay? And now I was so excited, and I was excited about all these Christians. We all believed the same thing, and we all believed in the Bible, the Word of God. So I'm sitting in the lounge at the college 2 weeks after I'm saved, and one of the guys from the Christian Fellowship came over to me, and he says, "Hey, Joe, have you ever been filled with the Holy Spirit?" And I went, "No, I don't know. I'm a new Christian. I'm like in John chapter 10, you know. I'm reading the Bible," and he's, "You know, let me pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to surrender and let the Holy Spirit fill you." I was like, "Yeah, okay, let's do that." So right in the middle of the lounge, and I was feeling kind of proud that there were hundreds of students sitting everywhere, and we're like talking about Jesus, because most of them were not Christians. So we're talking about Jesus. He's going to pray for me now to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So he starts praying for me. He puts his hands on me. He's praying for me. And in about 5 minutes, he all of a sudden starts speaking, I don't know if it's German or French or... Now, I'm in New Jersey State College, and there are a lot of international students there, and I'm thinking to myself, this guy's obviously from a different country. And you know, he speaks English pretty well, but he's now praying in German. And so he's praying and quite a while, and he's saying to me, "Come on, you need to let the Spirit fill you. You need to surrender." And I'm like, I am. Yeah, Spirit, fill me. And he's like, "You're resisting. You're holding back. Jesus, you can have all of me." And then he's praying. And eventually I kind of figured out, wait a second. He wants me to speak in some kind of foreign language too. Like, and all of a sudden this shiver goes down me, and I'm like kind of scared. Now, you understand, I never heard of the spiritual gift of tongues. I never had gone to like a Protestant church. I didn't watch evangelists on TVs. Back in those days, there was only like Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker. I didn't watch that anyway. So I knew nothing. Everyone with me? But I'm feeling scared, and he's pressuring, and I'm resisting, and I'm like, you know, and I'm like, oh, and he's like, "Come on, you got to speak," you know. Then another guy came over from the same Christian group, and he comes over to where we're at. This is a big scene going on. And he says, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm praying for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to speak in tongues." And he goes, "That's crazy. Tongues isn't for today." And so they start getting into a big fight. And he's going, "Yes, it is. Everyone should be speaking." "No, it isn't. It's not even of God today. It was done away with," and they're fighting. Now, two things are going through my mind, okay, as a new believer. One is the pressure was off me, okay? So I did feel kind of good, like, you know, save me. But the second thing is, amazingly, is that's the first time that I realized that two born-again Christians didn't agree on the Word of God. For 2 weeks, I actually thought all Christians, you know, we all said we all believe in the Bible. And so this was like, how could you two both disagree? I thought we all believed the same book. You know, so that was the first time my eyes were opened to the fact that in most things we agree, but there are some things we don't. And one of them happens to be one of the hot topics is about the spiritual gift of tongues. Now, since then, many years have gone by, I attended a Nazarene church, and in the Nazarene church, they did not believe the spiritual gift of tongues, or most of the gifts, were of today, that they were completed with the completion of the Bible, and they used 1 Corinthians 13, that when the perfect comes, the imperfect disappears, and they believe that the perfect means the Word of God. That's very bad exegesis. It is pretty clear that the perfect means the coming of Jesus Christ. So, I was in Nazarene. I was also in the Assemblies of God Church. Then after that, in the Assemblies of God Church, everyone had to speak in tongues. Now, I personally love the Christian and Missionary Alliance because I found that the Alliance, in my opinion, took the biblical road down the middle and avoided the two extremes. The two extremes being, one, it is not of God. There is no such thing as the spiritual gift of tongues. I think that is an extreme. I think that is incorrect. The other side is everyone speaks in tongues. I think from 1 Corinthians 12, if everyone's an eyeball, where would the heart be or the tongue be or the ear be? Or it is God who decides what spiritual gifts we get. And so this thought that everyone has to speak in tongues, I know lots of born-again, spirit-filled Christians that do not speak in tongues. And in fact, we cannot find any evidence for 1,500 years of the church history that anyone spoke in tongues, and yet I am sure there were spirit-filled believers in that time frame. So there were these two extremes. The Alliance said, no, you know what? The spiritual gifts are for today, and God decides which spiritual gifts you get when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. It might be speaking in tongues. It might be prophesying. It might be administration. It is the Holy Spirit that decides. And I was like, yes. It just seemed like this is where I want to be. 1 Corinthians. So let's first look at the first time that tongues was practiced in Acts chapter 2. And then we'll get to 1 Corinthians 14. Acts 2. It's the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes upon them. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. And in the Greek, that's languages. And you can see that down in your footnote. In other languages, tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. Verse 5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." So, the apostles were told that they were to go and make disciples of all nations. And on the day of Pentecost, all these people from all these different nations were gathered, and the 120 in the upper room, they're preaching in all the different languages, Egyptian, Libyan, Rome, Italian, and all these different languages, and they're hearing the wonders of God, which I'm sure is about the resurrection of Jesus. And they're like, they are amazed. Come to 1 Corinthians 14. Now, the Corinthian church was very big into spiritual gifts. And there is no doubt that they put a lot of emphasis on the spiritual gift of tongues. And so that's why Paul has like one section that's pretty much all about the use of tongues. So 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Paul starts out with the topic on tongues. Follow the way of what? Of love. He like emphasizes, again, God like, spiritual gifts are really good, but if you do not have love, chapter 13, you're nothing. If you don't practice love, if you don't use your spiritual gifts in love, you are nothing, zero, accomplish nothing. And so he emphasizes it again when it comes to the spiritual gift of tongues and prophecy. follow the way of love. I was thinking about those two guys, and I was thinking, they weren't really following the way of love. Because love, what's the first thing about love? Love is patient. Well, I didn't see any patience that they had with each other. And then the second thing is love is kind. I'm telling you right now, they were not kind to each other. That's of the devil. That's not for today. The devil gave you that language. You aren't spiritual. You don't even have the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm watching these two brothers rip down at each other. Now, I didn't see kind. I didn't see love is not easily angered. I mean, they're getting red. The whole college is watching as in anger. They're battling and forth over the spiritual gift of tongues. And so I was like, it's amazing how people will claim, one of the other definitions of love is love is not proud and it is not rude. So they were rude to one another. And talk about spiritual pride. Each had spiritual, I speak in tongues. I am connected to God and you are not. Talk about pride. I mean, and their side as well. Okay, so it was like, wow. That's why God, I mean, the Apostle Paul wrote it, but he only wrote what God said. And God was like, emphasize love. Anyone who gets prideful about their spiritual gifts and rude and isn't patient and kind, they don't have love, okay? Emphasize the love. So verse 1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially, now this would have thrown off the Corinthians, especially the gift of what? Prophecy. And prophecy is getting a word from the Lord. Verse 2, for anyone who speaks in a tongue, and in the Greek that's a language, a foreign language, a language, does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. So if I have the spiritual gift of tongues, and let's just say, and there are many languages in the world, and you, when someone has a spiritual gift of tongues, they could be speaking another language, Spanish, Italian, French, African, Asian, whatever. Or some believe that you can be speaking a heavenly language, and they get that from chapter 13, verse 1, where it says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels. So there is an implication that maybe there is a heavenly language that people can speak in. But let's just say, for sake of argument, I get the spiritual gift of speaking in Swahili. If the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, enables me to speak in Swahili, but no one else understands it, I'm speaking to God. He understands, of course, Swahili, but no one else will understand. So verse 2, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. So when you prophesy and people can understand it, it encourages the Christians. It strengthens them. It brings them, as it says here, in comfort. In the Greek, it's actually to cheer. It cheers you to hear the word from the Lord. Verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies. He builds up who? Himself. So if you have the spiritual gift of tongues and you practice it, you do. You build up yourself. You're spiritually stronger. You're praying to the Lord in tongues. But the focus is on yourself. But he who prophesies gives forth the word of the Lord, edifies the, who? The church. Okay, the whole body of believers. Verse 5. He's not against tongues at all. Verse 5. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may be edified. So if you do speak in tongues and someone interprets it, so if I speak in Swahili and then someone interprets the Swahili and says, here's what the Holy Spirit was saying through, I'll just pick on me and Faith. I speak in Swahili, Faith interprets the Swahili, then it becomes prophecy, a word from the Lord, and the church can be edified. The whole church can be built up. Verse 6. Now, brothers, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the flute or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will be speaking into the air. If I speak in Swahili and it's not intelligible to everyone, I'm just basically speaking in the air because no one's going to understand it. Verse 10, undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world. Thousands, in fact. Thousands of languages in the world. And then there may be heavenly languages, the language of angels. So there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. When someone has a spiritual gift of tongues, it is a language, and they all should have meaning to them. Verse 11. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and he is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. Verse 13, for this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue, in a foreign language, a language that they did not learn, should pray that he may interpret what he says. So if you have the spiritual gift of speaking in Swahili, you should go back to the Lord and you should pray, Lord, give me as well the bookend gift of interpreting the Swahili, so that I can understand how the Holy Spirit is praying through me to you, God. Help me to interpret, to have the ability to interpret what the Spirit is leading me to say. Verse 14, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So the Holy Spirit is moving through my spirit to pray to God, but my mind is unfruitful. I can't understand Swahili. Verse 15. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I should pray to interpret the language I'm praying so that my mind understands the language I'm praying. I will sing with my spirit. Some people will sing in tongues. But I will also sing with my mind. My mind should understand. It's much better if my mind also understands what my spirit is saying. Verse 16. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. When I say amen, what does that mean? It's true. I believe it. I agree. Okay, I agree. So when someone's praying, when we get in a prayer meeting and someone's praying, Lord, please move upon the lost people of the Mars Cranberry area, and we pray for this person to be healed and give traveling mercies. At the end of the prayer, if everyone agrees with that prayer, then everyone goes, amen. I agree. I understand the prayer and I agree with that prayer. If someone is praying in tongues, and so I'm praying in Swahili, I may be giving thanks to God. I may be praying for all kinds of amazing things. But if you don't understand what I'm saying, you are unable to say amen. I agree with that. Okay? So that's why it needs to be interpreted. Otherwise, you don't say amen because you don't know what they said. Verse 18. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. You know, when I first read that, I was like, Apostle Paul, that sounds so prideful, doesn't it? He's like, I speak in tongues more than all of you Corinthians. I'm like, that reminded me of the two fighting. Like, boy, that's pretty prideful, Paul. But then I was thinking, you know what? You know, this is just my bias. I think the main reason that Jesus gave the gift of tongues is to spread the gospel to other nations. He told the apostles, look, I want you to go to all nations telling the gospel. And I don't know if they had language schools. I mean, but God gave them this gift so that they could go, and the apostles did. If you read the apostles went to all these different nations, and I think God gave them the ability to preach the gospel in their languages. The apostle Paul was well known as probably the best missionary that there ever was. I guarantee you, the church knew it. They brought him in. I mean, he was having an amazing success in planting churches, including the Corinthian church. You know, they would know, you know, Paul went to Turkey and over to Italy and to Greece, and we believe he went to Spain and down to, we don't know where he went. We just know he planted at least, I think, 26 churches. And they're all speaking different languages. And so Paul's there, no matter where he goes, he's preaching to them. And I know you might think, oh, they all spoke one language. Right. Go try that now. It's kind of like saying, well, the whole world speaks English. Yeah, a lot of people understand English everywhere, but no. The Apostle Paul was amazing how he could plant churches. He shows up in Corinth, in Greece, and he's speaking great Greek, and, you know. So, yeah, I praise God, I speak in tongues more than all of you. I've been able to bring the gospel to all these different nations and countries. And then he goes on and says, and I got to see where I'm at. Verse 19. But when I'm visiting a local church, I would rather speak five intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. So someone could get up in Mars Alliance and talk 10,000 words in a tongue. Another person could get up in Mars Alliance and say, Jesus is Lord and God, five words. The person that just said five words said more than the person that said 10,000 words in a tongue that is not interpreted. Verse 20, brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the law, it is written, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. In other words, God is going to speak to people through people who don't know their language, but suddenly can speak in that language. But even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Verse 22, tongues then are a sign, not for who? Not for believers, but for who? Unbelievers. You again, on the day of Pentecost, when the 120 are speaking in tongues, it was for the unbelievers that were there. That all of a sudden the Egyptians said, hey, we're hearing about this Jesus in perfect Egyptian. The Libyans, we hear about Jesus in Libya. It's a sign when you show up in a nation and they know you're not from that nation, and all of a sudden you can preach to them the gospel in their language, that is a sign for unbelievers. Listen up. This is amazing. This is God speaking to you through this person who never learned your language and now suddenly can preach to you. Verse 23. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and now, I want you to follow this here. Verse 25. So the whole church comes together. Everyone is speaking in tongues, and some who do not understand. In the Greek there, it's some that are ignorant. They are Christians, but they never heard about the spiritual gift of tongues, like I was. After I was a Christian for 2 weeks, I never, ever heard about the spiritual gift of tongues. You with me? Okay, so when he was doing that, I was ignorant. I was a Christian, but I did not understand. I hadn't gotten to 1 Corinthians yet, or to the book of Acts. So the church comes together, and everyone speaks in tongues, and some who do not understand, or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are what? out of your mind. So if people don't understand, Christians don't understand, or people that are lost come in and we speak in tongues and there's no interpretation, they will say we're out of our minds. And you have to understand, the main thing to the Apostle Paul is to win lost people to the Lord. They'll say, you're out of your mind, and they're out of here. So then Paul goes, verse 24. But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, so the word of God is going forth, they understand it in their language, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. See, when you hear the word of God, don't you feel like, man, God is talking right to me? The preacher is opening me up, you know. And the secrets of his hearts will be laid bare. He will fall down. Instead of running out going, you guys are crazy, he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Verse 26, so here's the instructions to the church. What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak. I love this because I've been to churches where 10 people are speaking in tongues at the same time. And I'm like, what didn't you get? The Apostle Paul is like, look, two or three at the most. I'm like, it's amazing how we skip the instructions from the Holy Spirit. And then someone, two or three must speak, and then someone must interpret. See, when you have 10 people speaking in tongues at the same time, I always think it must be difficult for the interpreters that have the gift of interpretation to like, wait, I'm hearing 10 different languages. I know I can interpret Swahili, but I hear French and German and, you know, it's very difficult. So that's why Paul is, look, two or three speak, and then the interpreters can hear and they can interpret what has been said so that the church as a whole is edified. Verse 28. If there is no interpreter, if you cannot interpret your own language yourself, or someone else cannot interpret your language, then the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. You can use your language as a prayer language and talk to God, but to just put it out in front of the church and there's no interpretation, that doesn't build up the church. You should remain silent in the church. Verse 29, two or three prophets should speak and the others should weigh carefully what is said. If someone speaks in tongues and someone interprets, that it becomes like a word of the Lord. Or if two or three prophets speak, it says then everyone else should carefully weigh what is said according to the word of God. So if someone stands up and prophesies, or let's say someone stands up and speaks in a heavenly language, and someone interprets and says this, I have a message from the Lord. Jesus Christ is coming back next week. All right, then what should the rest of us do? We should weigh carefully what has been said according to the word of God. So what do you think about that? If someone says Jesus Christ is coming back next week, it's wrong. Why is it wrong? The Bible says we do not know when Jesus Christ is coming back, including Jesus. So I doubt God's going to give you that insight when he's not even giving it to his son until it comes, okay? I once visited a home. This woman, she speaks in tongues, and she says to me, she interprets it herself, and she says, God has given me permission to divorce my husband and to marry another man in the church. And we had this discussion. I said, is your husband unfaithful? No. No, but this other man is just, he's so spiritual, and we just have a connection. And so the Holy Spirit has given me an exception through my tongues that I can divorce my husband and marry this other woman. So then I took her to Matthew 19. It was like a shock when I hit her with the Bible. Like, here's what the Bible says. It can't be from God. And you could just, you know, it was like. So the rest of us always need to carefully weigh, does what someone prophesy or a tongue interpretation, does it not contradict, for sure, the word of God?